Actor Michael Moriarty is best known for his performances in such films as Bang the Drum Slowly, Who'll Stop the Rain, and Q. He won Emmys for his performance alongside Katharine Hepburn in The Glass Menagerie and for his portrayal of an SS officer in the TV miniseries Holocaust. But even before he started acting, he was writing jazz songs, singing them, and accompanying himself at the piano. Moriarty has just released a record on his own label featuring him doing his own songs. He just concluded a series of concerts at the Ballroom in New York. I asked him why his music seems to be taking center stage.
Well, it's a strange order of events. Music was my first love. Then I think I went into acting to protect my music because I don't have to earn a living at it and I can do what I want to do with it. And I'd always written these popular songs, and I've done two or three tunes for movies, you know, and every once in a while I get a little check from this just little brief thing I sang in a movie. So I've pushed it out there to get into the marketplace, and people who like it will buy it or sing it, and it will support my penchant now for writing music for classical orchestra.
One of the songs on your new record is called Evil Dream, mm-hmm. and this is a song that you sang in the 1982 film Q.
Q, yes, right. This
is a horror film about a giant Aztec bird who mm-hmm. flies over New York and sets up his home in the Chrysler Building.
And proceeds to devour people. And the logo on the poster was, New York is known for good eating.
That's right. And you play a kind of schlemiel who gets involved in petty crime and chances into the nest of the bird.
Yes.
So there's a scene where you're auditioning at a bar.
Right.
And you're playing your song, Evil Dream.
Uh-huh.
The bartender winces.
Yes.
A cop at the bar, played by David Carradine, looks pained. A dog is growling in response to your scat singing.
Yes. Yes.
Where did this song come from?
Well, the song had been written about, had a girlfriend who had an evil dream. And I wrote the song on the bus coming back to New York, and the song was about trying to chase away her evil dreams. She woke out in a nightmare. So I had recorded it for this another possible album, and the scat began in falsetto, and I was doubling myself in piano, and it just went on and went on, and I heard it, and I don't think anyone has ever heard anything quite like this, ever.
She wakes up crying every night because of what you say. She wakes up crying every night because of what you say. Evil dream, go away now.
Were you ever laughed at for real at an audition or at a performance?
Acting-wise or music?
No,
or
musically.
Musically? No.
Mm-hmm. So you never experienced an audition like this in real life?
Gosh, in my nightmares. And yes, just you always get rejected. One never laughs at you, but there's always that little voice at the end of the hall saying, thank you very much, Mr. Moriarty. Next. Or interesting, Mr. Moriarty. And that is part of the career. I mean, once I accepted that as part of my life. In fact, that's what I'm paid for. I'm paid to allow people to reject me. So I know what it is to be deeply rejected, and it can be fun.
What's the fun about it?
The fun is liberation, because in the end, your life is your life, and you lead it, and there's always going to be someone who doesn't like you. You cannot live a life that's of any meaning or size that people don't stand up and say, I don't like him, and that's life.
You know, I've seen you in very few films in the past few years, And I was wondering why, whether you've been turning down roles or whether
you're turning down a lot. Why? They wanted me to do things I've done before. You know, they want me to go down old roads I've been. And the films I have done, which are mostly B films, are roles that I've never done before. Kinds of roles that that I would like to do. But A films, in that category, there's a huge lethargy in the business. And then once they've pigeonholed you, they want to keep you there. But time, I will wear them down. They will eventually just have to give up.
So a movie like Q, a horror film, a B film, you did that because you thought it was an offbeat role.
Absolutely, and it was. I think it's my favorite feature film performance. I've done good performances in television, but for feature films, I like that best. It's fullest and it's most, I think it's most courageous performance I've given on film.
Well, I like your performance in that very much. And I think as an actor, you have a knack for finding what is most eccentric about a role that you're playing, as opposed to what is the most kind of in the center about it.
Yeah, I think so. I do find the grace notes. Sometimes there's too many, but I was trained in London, which the idea of acting was character acting. There was not a leading man idea of it. You just played as many different roles as possible and saw what kind of range you could find. But now I'm kind of turning around. I've done all that. I've played my characters. I've done my Richard III. I've done my Q. Now I'm doing a television series in which I will basically be me. And what an exciting thought. And I'm not all as eccentric as some of those characters I've played. I have eccentricities, but I think they're within the range of your basic acceptable behavior pattern, I hope, at any rate.
Okay, the series is called Law and
Order.
Right. You say you're just going to be you in it. I figured you were playing a cop or something.
Yes, but there's a... I could characterize it. I could make it a... No, I'm playing a DA, prosecuting attorney.
Oh,
I could make it a heavy New York characterization. I could do a lot of, characterization things on it. But the producer said, basically, play you within the regimen and disciplines, professional disciplines of a lawyer, of a prosecuting attorney.
Let's get back to your training. Now,
mm-hmm.
you were trained classically at the London Academy of Dramatic Arts.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with all that classical training, some of my favorite of your roles, like Q and Who'll Stop the Rain, you do so much mumbling in the movie, that...
You hear every word you have to hear.
Oh, exactly,
I'm very aware when I'm not heard. No, mumbling is a kind of music. It's an American music. It's not an English music. It's an American music. You must learn how to do it eloquently. To be effective. You must know when you're heard and when you're not heard. It's part of classical training to handle that well.
Well, how are you trained in to mumble?
Sounds, verbs, nouns, consonants. You either drop the consonants. In America, they don't hit their consonants on, so you get a lot of this mushy stuff where you don't see the frames around the pictures. You just hear the vowel sounds. So this kind of thing goes on, and that's a lot of that. Whereas in England, the consonants are hit rather forcefully, so you have these real definitions around vowel sounds. But to be aware of how to do that, classical training does not hurt, it helps.
Mm-hmm. I want to ask you about a couple of other roles that you've had in films. In Who'll Stop the Rain, you play a journalist coming back from Vietnam who gets involved in a heroin deal and gets in over your head immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Robert Stoner wrote the book that it's based on. It describes this story as the violence of the war coming home to America and taking root there. What did you relate to most about this character?
Well, in all honesty, I related to what he was in the novel. The script itself, going in, I just sensed the script was not, for my character, what the novel is. The novel opens up the mind of an intellectual. Making an intellectual come alive on screen is almost impossible. It's rarely been done. So my interest had to do with the character as he appeared in the novel more than even in the film.
In Bang the Drum Slowly, one of your first movie roles,
mm-hmm.
you played a baseball player
mm-hmm.
who's very close to the character played by Robert De Niro. Now, we just had Vincent Gardenia on the show, who played the manager of the team.
Yeah.
And he explained that when he made the movie, he knew nothing about baseball. He didn't even know where first base was
mm-hmm.
because he had grown up acting with his father's Italian language company.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you were in the opposite position. Your mm-hmm. grandfather, I think, was actually a baseball player.
Yes, he was. He played baseball for the Detroit Tigers, and he coached, and he was an umpire, and I grew up He was a scout who also brought ballplayers home to the house, so I grew up with ballplayers around me all the time. And like their talk and how they were in their physical life, it was all very, very real to me. But the interesting thing about an artist is that if an artist finds the music of the role, he doesn't have to know the details of a job like baseball or any other job, even prosecuting attorney. If he finds the music of that character, and Vince understood the music of the man, they were similar in backgrounds. It didn't get in the way of his performance at all. I don't think the fact that he knew nothing about baseball. Do you? I thought it was very convincing.
Oh yeah. When you talk about the music of a role, mm-hmm. What do you mean by that? And is there a connection in your work between the music that you write and sing and mm-hmm. your approach to doing,
acting
to
in
doing
general,
lines?
It's all
acting,
music
yeah.
to me. It's all, every bit of it's music. I always think in terms of music. I don't think of the details or I don't intellectualize. I'll hear a person's speech pattern, and I'll think in terms of pauses, vocal registers, and melodies. And that's how I... And once I find the right music of the character, I'm locked. I'm fine. I'm in the groove, and I don't have to worry.
Okay. I want to thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you very much.
Michael Moriarty's new jazz album is called Reaching Out. He's also performing in New York in his one-man show, A Special Providence. This is Fresh Air.